Hello, good morning, and welcome to Raider Nation Radio. It's the morning tailgate here on this Monday. Clay Baker, Vinny Bonsignor here with you on the Las Vegas studios. Thank you so much for being with us as we continue on our summer of fun classic vacation giveaways. I'll tell you what that is in 20 minutes time with the keyword of the day. It's going to be fantastic, as well as we'll have special guest Andy Phillips will join us, former Packer. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the NFC North with him and preview that division here as well at 702-365-9200. That's our number to reach us here on the phones and on the text line. Text line is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. And you can hit us up on X at R&R 920 AM, 4 Down Territory. Some interesting lists that are coming up and popping up in and around. And we also have tickets for not only Monster Jam that happens this weekend at Thomas Mack Center, but we'll also have tickets for the NBA Summer League. So just keep listening, will ya? We got all sorts of great prizes here for you on Raider Nation Radio Morning Tailgate. Vinny, good morning. How's it
good
going,
morning. Who's at Monster Jam this year? Do we know?
You know what? Like, you we'll mean like the Gravedigger versus, you know.
What is Monster Jam? Is it a
Monster Jam is the Monster Truck Championship.
Okay. Because I was wondering if it was a Monsters of Rock or Monster
Jam. Oh, that would be cool, actually. Yeah. The Monsters of Rock Jam.
Okay.
The Wheel Mount.
I like that, too. The cars and
stuff
like
man.
That.
It's their Super Bowl. It's the Monster Truck Super Bowl. So they're actually got two nights this time around.
Ooh.
And they normally sell out. And I think these tickets probably are probably the last you can probably pick up. So make sure you listen for the Monster Jam tickets. It's one of the biggest bashes of the year.
It's a jam. Be there or be square.
You don't want to miss it.
Monday. We all grew up on, that was always on a Channel 5, like where we were growing up. Like not the, it wouldn't be the CBS, NBC.
No, they were buying good time like that. They were buying Channel 5 time is different.
Right. During the Tuesday movie, you know, 4 o'clock movie or something like that.
Yeah, the late show, the 4 o'clock
they
movie.
They would have the guy, and it's so funny, TV has changed so much. And in our day when we were growing up, like, quite honestly, there were 12 channels maybe, if that.
Yeah.
Depending on how good your antenna might have been sometimes.
That was your world.
Yeah, and when we're kidding about it, but literally there would be like at 4 o'clock, it would be the afternoon movie. And you'd have somebody, a man or a woman, come in there and kind of explain what the movie was going to be about. Sitting in a chair or, you know, in a living room or something like that, you know, with a fire behind them, talking about who the actor was, who the actresses were. And they would periodically come back, like, you know, during a commercial break to catch you up and everything like that. And it was like this movie person who walked us through.
Movie hosts were great because they were like usually an employee there of some sort that was like normally there to make sure that the place is closed on the weekends and you got to do a couple things. But you were either the horror host on Saturday night or you were the afternoon movie host.
Right.
Like, with Bill Kennedy.
It would be sometimes B-ish movies, definitely for the scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you weren't getting Gone with the Wind, let's put it that way, on the afternoon the afternoon movie.
No, in fact, I remember there were a couple stations in Detroit that just seemed like they had like five movies that they just kind of rotated in and out. And there would be like one musical, one drama, you know, a comedy, and then, you know, something that would be like, you know, a children's movie, like a family movie,
For sure. You would get a lot of Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin type movies.
Right. Hey!
Right.
Dean and I are a team.
Exactly.
Be back at one.
Exactly. So, you know, Abbott and Costello, meet the whatever, meet Frankenstein, or, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. And every time there was a rainout in Detroit for like a Tiger game, there was like a go-to Bowery Boys movie
Bowery
that they
Boys
went
were,
into.
Yes.
It was like Bowery Boys meet Rosalind Russell and the Gorilla or something like that.
Right. Those my dad used to love the Bowery Boys. Those guys were that was good stuff. But hey, great weekend this weekend, by the way. Clay went to go see the Battle of Las Vegas on Saturday with the Las Vegas Raiders against the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas Golden Knights won in a runaway. I think they scored 30 runs, a lot of home runs. There were
huge.
A couple of ringers on both teams. But Thayer Munford, I think, had 3 home runs for the Raiders. Daniel Carlson had a couple of home runs. But I'll say this. It's funny sitting in the stands with my wife and daughter and watching guys like circle fly balls or try to get their mitt down on ground balls. And I got to ask you this. We kind of had this conversation a little bit before the show. When we grew up, the playing baseball at your local elementary school or junior high school or park was a very common thing. Like you would drive when you would drive around town, you were in the Detroit, Michigan. You know, I was in Southern California. Baseball was super prevalent. Like we had, they were unsupervised too, by the way. Sometimes, you know, obviously practices were supervised, but just pick up baseball games.
Yeah, just a random group of people. As long as somebody has a bat.
A bat
even
and
if
a
you
ball.
Don't, yeah, even if you don't have a glove or something, we're going to get a game going here.
Right, and so the repetition of that, you know, allowed you to be somebody that can, successfully circle a fly ball or get your, you know, we'd play pickle, which is, you know, a base running thing, you know, where you'd have first base, second base, and a runner right in the middle trying to get back to first base or to second base.
That was fun for a little bit until you just wore everybody out.
Right, exactly. We had over the line, which was a game where you didn't have to have, you know, nine players out there. You sectioned off a field. Like if the ball, you know, ended up in this area, it's a single. Mm-hmm. In this area, it's a double and triple. And so you didn't have to have, you know, a whole bunch of players. You could get by with three players, sometimes two, really. But anyway, the point being is that we had repetition catching balls and throwing balls and, you know, fielding ground balls and fly balls. And so when I was watching some of the hockey players and some of the football players, it's pretty obvious that a lot of these guys are you know, they played a little bit. You could tell they played a little bit. But you could tell that they also didn't play a lot because they're just the uncertainty of tracking a fly ball or getting your mitt down. A.J. Cole played third base, and he had a couple that just went right under the glove. He was really upset with himself. A couple bad throws over to first base. But, you know, things that when we were kids, those were sort of normal. The kids today aren't, you know, in a mass sense, aren't getting the same kind of you know, exposure to baseball that we did. Now, you could probably argue that on the highest end, it might be even better now, but that's with the specialized coaching and the kids getting into programs early on, and there's certainly that. You know, there's certainly...
No, I think there's a lot of that where they're just playing one sport and not many sports.
Right, and so there's, you know, you're in batting cages, you're at these academies, whatever, you know, you're getting... And so the best of the best might actually be better. I don't know if that's the case or not. But I think the widespread of it is gets lost in translation. Like you just don't see now random groups of kids playing baseball at the park.
No, they're not. And most of the time, if you would probably go to your old school to go and find you know, a backstop, that way you could play with a hard ball.
Right.
You know, and that was like the only place you could play with a hard ball, because other than that, you got like rubber balls and tennis balls. In the street. And but the schools are locked up. You're not allowed to get on that grounds anymore. So now what parks are available? And at the same time, is there a real inkling to like, hey, let's just get out of the house and go do something outside? I think just getting that kind of urge out of any young student athlete is not going to be the easiest thing to do. And even not even have to be student athletes. Any young student. Like, yeah, let's just get out and go play a game somewhere.
And it's not just that. It's then getting five or six others to go with you. Like we ran with a pack of kids. Like all the kids in my general vicinity in my neighborhood ran as a little pack. I'm not saying it was a negative. It was fun. We'd play basketball, baseball, football, whatever sport was in season, and we would literally walk, you know, a mile away to another section of town. You know, it wasn't that far, but it was far enough to play that neighborhoods group of kids.
Like always, yeah.
Pick up tackle football. We were playing Clay. I know you were doing this too, but people for the younger crowd amongst us to get this in perspective, we were playing tackle football, and we were getting after it. There were injuries. There were broken bones occurring. There were, I'm sure, concussions happening as well. And it's just
there's always chipped teeth.
Yeah,
there people losing teeth left and right.
Something was going on, and it kind of dawned on me that this was sort of dwindling when a high school coach, a friend of mine, and he was a freshman coach at a high school, and he was telling me how, You know, there's so many kids that come out for football that freshman year. Just it's kind of their first time, you know, in football, right? Mm-hmm. They need something to do, so they're going to go out for football. And he's like, Vinny, you don't understand how kids don't know how to fall nowadays. Like, I see them flailing around when they're falling, and I'm like, have you never fell in your life where you know, like, kind of how to fall so that you don't get hurt, you know? Like, and because we're not as rough and tumble maybe as kids used to be, mm-hmm. that you just figured that out. It became second nature. Like, I'm falling. I better make sure that I'm not landing on something where I'm going to break my wrist or break my butt, you know, and just soften the blow a little bit just by second nature. And he's like, it's unbelievable that kids, they don't go out and play the way we used to play where...
Now you're taking it for granted that you could avoid injuries if you're falling, you know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but there's like a, you know, there's a certain kind of, when you're teaching your sons and daughters, you know, and you're playing kind of like maybe playing a little roughhouse in the house, that's when you start learning some of that, like those skills of
right.
like making sure you don't, you don't break, you don't lead with your head,
you don't
break your nose,
exactly.
You know, little stuff like that. And of course, yeah, the crazy ones are when you try to like brace yourself for the mm-hmm. fall.
Right.
That's how you hyperextend an elbow.
Right.
That's how you start breaking arms, you know,
yeah.
and next thing you know.
You got to roll a little bit,
you know,
because there is an art to falling when you're out there playing that protects yourself basically, and it becomes second nature if you've been doing it since you were 5 years old out there with your friends.
I always felt like some of the TV that was on when we were on there was all action shows, and there was constant
sure.
you know fighting and rolling and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah.
But you know, you just kind of emulate what you see on TV, you know, sometimes. And like when you'd see tackle football, and you know, like there was all this love for when the football season came. Your parents, your dad, you know, your uncles would come around, couldn't wait to watch football, and you wanted to emulate that outside in the yard.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't wait to do that. And
for sure.
I wonder if you guys are, you know, hearing this now, and are there games and stuff that you kind of wish are like were more prevalent now that you would like drive around the city, you'd wish you were seeing more of that? And what games do you miss the most, especially around this time of the year or even in the fall or winter that you were like, wow,
yeah,
we skipped something in the generations.
Right. Give us a call, 702-365-9200, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners grew up in a similar way. Where wouldn't you love to be able to see a bunch of kids playing baseball right now? I love soccer. Soccer's great, and I do see a lot of soccer. There's no question. There's plenty of soccer out there. But there isn't the kind of baseball that we saw. Also, shout out, yesterday I got a chance to, sometimes as a dad, you got to remind your kids, like, you know, I'm not the non-cool guy that you think I am. And mm-hmm. my son is a huge fan of Gilbert Arenas's show that he does with Josiah Johnson and Kenyon Martin and a couple others that are on there. So anyway, they're out here in Las Vegas for the Summer League shooting their show over at the Wynn. There's a great, I don't know if you've been in the studio now, over where Sirius XM's built their studio, beautiful little facility over there. So I was like, look, you don't know, you weren't part of Gilbert, you know, da da da. I'm like, I've known Gilbert since he was 15 years old. I didn't find Gilbert, but gosh darn it, you know, I was writing about Gilbert when he was 15 and nobody knew. So anyway, so we took him over to, Gilbert said, come on over. So went out to the studio yesterday, got a chance to catch up with Gil, who's doing, you know, great things with his show, Gil's Arena. If you want to go check them out, they're here till Wednesday over at the Wynn. At the Sirius XM studio, right over by the B Bar, which is a massive hangout. And by the way, if you want to go get autographs and get pictures with NBA players, it is NBA royalty over at the Wynn right now. And the Summer League is here in town. There's a lot of things that are going on NBA related during the Summer League here. There's ancillary stuff that goes on. So
right, I mean, guys come in the town, they have their foundations that they mm-hmm. want to push. So there's dinners, there's charity golf outings. There's also at night clubs have things sponsored by athletes. So it's
for
like
sure.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And if you just want to, if you're listening and you're in town, you want to take the kids out to go see some great, whether they're current NBA players. Ran into Kat yesterday from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Tyson Chandler still looks great. It was great catching up with Gilbert and having him tell my kids, your dad was writing about me when I was a junior and sophomore in high school, and Josiah is doing fantastic things as well. King Josiah, he's a great on social media, and Marcus Johnson's son. If you don't remember Marcus, you know who Marcus Johnson was, right? From the old Milwaukee Bucks, and then you get talk about Clipper, the Clipper curse. Marcus got traded to the Clippers, comes back to his hometown. I think it might have been his first or second year. He runs into Benoit Benjamin. Remember Benoit?
Oh, yeah, Benoit.
And was never the same player. He wrecked his back, basically.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. Norm Nixon got traded to the Clippers. And, you know, his career kind of went sideways when he's playing in a... This is total Clipper curse right here. He's playing in a celebrity softball tournament with his wife. His wife was Debbie Allen, the great choreographer. And actress, and he was playing in a celebrity softball game in Central Park, and wrecks his leg circling a fly ball. Clay.
Yeah, he stepped into a hole,
stepped into a pothole or whatever you call it, you know, a gopher hole or something.
Oh man,
you talk about cursed, man. The Clippers were cursed. It's better than it was, but there was a time when the Clippers were the most hapless, inept, professional sports organization in all of sports, and it felt like there was a cloud continually hanging over them.
Yeah, that takes me back. That Norm Nixon thing, that was like he'll recover from that. But that was back. If you did injure your knee, it was more than 75% chance that you were never going to be the same.
You know who he got traded for?
Roy Tarpley,
or who the Lakers traded him away for? I should say
no.
Byron Scott.
That's Byron a pretty Scott. Good deal.
And the fellow Lakers, talk about how times are different now, Clay. So it pissed off a lot of the Laker players. They loved Norm Nixon. Magic loved Norm Nixon. You know, even though they played the same position, but they shared that point guard duties of those first few years. They did not, the players did not talk to Byron Scott for about the first half of the season.
They
treated him
shoulder.
Like crap.
Yeah.
And it was always a ritual anyway. When you were a rookie, you were low man on the totem pole. You had to run errands. You had to go get the coffee. You had to go get the donuts. You had to do all the. You had to help the equipment guy getting the equipment onto the truck. You were just a low man on the totem pole. I mean, stuff like that wouldn't fly anymore. The way it was. It could get a little bit hairy, and we're probably better off, I guess, as a society. I don't know. Maybe there's people out there who think that maybe we're getting a little too soft. In some ways, maybe there's something to be said about, hey, earn our trust, earn our respect. We're not going to go out of our way to like purposely hurt you or anything like that. But you don't just come waltzing in thinking that you're, one of us until you prove to us that you're one of us.
Because you are no Norm Nixon.
Yeah, exactly. He turned out to be better. And he was a great Laker. Everybody grew to love B, as they called him. But it took a little while for him to get in the good graces of Kareem and Magic and everybody else, because not only are you a rookie, but we just traded one of our beloved teammates for you. So you got some work to do to get in our good graces.
All right, we'll take a break and come back on the other side. We'll give you the keyword of the day and our vacation on this week's Summer of Fun Vacation Odyssey, brought to you by Planet Nissan. It's Raider Nation.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
McConnell on first down, going to throw. He's got all day. Lobs it to the end zone. Open receiver. Tucker bobbles it. Caught it. Touchdown, Raiders. It looked like he bobbled it on first glance in the back right corner. He caught it. He flips. Raiders in control here in the first.
Yeah, it's more of the just the comfortability just in general within his own skin, I guess you could say. And, he is who he is now, and he's talking. He's a little bit of everything. You're starting to see more of him versus just the shell of a rookie trying to do everything, by the book, which is that's what allows guys to kind of get to that next level once you figure out who you truly are and start to come into your own. So, obviously, he's balling and he was doing a lot of good things last year, so I don't want to say like I haven't seen any elevation, but he was doing, especially toward the end, he started figuring out who he is a little bit more, and as soon as he got here this offseason, he kind of put his cleats on, strapped up, and you could tell that he's ready.
Are you ready? It's the Morning Tailgate here on Raider Nation Radio. Thank you so much for being with us, Vinny Bonsignore, Clay Baker, and you. All right. You've been waiting for the Summer of Fun giveaway. This is what we do this week. It's all brought to you by Planet Nissan. And thank you for doing so. This week's cruise, it's a 7-night cruise to Mexico. This is a vacation. Now, what you have to do, you have to text in the keyword pool, P-O-O-L, to 702-365-9200. And you qualify for a chance to win a 7-night cruise to Mexico, a room with a balcony, stops in Ensenada, Cabo San Lucas, and Mazatlan, $500 spending cash, or you just take the $3,000 payout. It's up to you, but that's why it's a summer of fun. And it's brought to you by Planet Nissan. So text the word pool to 702-365-9200. As we're talking about, you know, as you drive around town or you just kind of see like there's a lack of evidence that, you know, people and you see young kids not getting together to play games like, you know, baseball or anything out on the fields. And, you know, you see less and less of it now. Yeah, the courts are always busy with hoop, but you don't see
and
baseball.
Soccer. There's soccer
and
out
there's
there.
Soccer too. Yeah. Yep. But there's just something missing about America's pastime, especially when you think about the All-Star game. And we got some thoughts here at 702-365-9200 out here in Las Vegas with Raiders 66. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, great, thank you.
How are you, man?
Great. Oh, I'm doing okay. Yeah, just been real busy with work lately, so I've been trying to listen and keep up with things, but haven't called in as much. But, yeah, you touched on a subject today that's just crazy, and I blame whoever the Mensa member was that decided to take PE out of a requirement in public schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found that out, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding. It blew me away when my nieces and nephews or whatever were going to school, and they said he had no PE. Just crazy. But, yeah, I remember, like you, Vinny, when we were kids, you know, people playing baseball, we get a group of guys together, and we go play, and then you'd meet, like, about five or six other guys in the park, and all of a sudden you had a game.
Yeah.
Or basketball or whatever. And my dad wasn't a big sports guy, and he was a great mechanic, and he drove – raced dirt tracks back in South Dakota when he was a kid, you know, in his 20s and stuff. He was a real hellraiser, but yeah, not so much for the organized sports. And so my brothers and I did it, you know, ourselves. We got friends, and you just get together and you just start playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the Sandlot football where we'd get a group of our friends together and play, and that was one of my first big injuries because I'm running. And I got this guy draped around my shoulders, and all of a sudden I step into a sprinkler hole.
Oof, yes.
And, yeah, so I kind of go down, collapse, and I pop up, and all of a sudden I go to put my left foot down, and it won't touch the ground. I'm looking, and it's, like, at this weird angle. And, yeah, the kneecap popped out. So I just reached down and put my hand on both sides of it, you know, put it back into place, and, okay, let's go.
Oh, well done.
And yeah, it was.
You survived, right? You didn't. Yeah. You survived. You didn't have to sue anybody or
exactly.
Try to blame somebody. You know what? Accidents happen, for crying out loud. You know what we used to do, Raider 66, real quick?
Okay.
We used to, there was an elementary school down the street from our house, and I'm not going to say which one because I don't know if there's a statute of limitations on all this, but we would, the night before, let's say a Saturday night, right? We figured out a way to go trick the sprinkler system to make the field wet and muddy. Like we did some things that we probably shouldn't have done, no doubt about it, and I would not advise anybody to do this. But we did that so that we could have a mud bowl game the next day. And it was, again, should we have done it? No, absolutely not. Did we all survive? Did the world keep going and nothing was really damaged or done? Yes, absolutely, too. So I don't know if it was ingenuity or stupidity, but that's exactly what we did. And we had a blast the next day just playing mud ball, you know, football, mud ball or football in the mud.
I was going to say, I'll bet you had a blast, and that is ingenuity. And I'm wondering if Al Davis wasn't there to help you guys with that.
No comment.
Yeah, to cover the cost of that $7,000 water bill that elementary school incurred.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something about that 66 is that there was no way any parent was going to allow their kids to sit inside the house all day either. So you have to go outside.
Who wanted to sit inside? I didn't want to sit inside.
So exactly. You were going outside one way or another looking for something to do.
We had to – our parents had to, like, get the bullhorn out to call for us to get home.
Yep, my wife was saying that too. It's like when the lights came on, they had to yell and bring you in. You were outside from when you got up to when the lights went on the street lights. It was just And that was just the way it was.
Dusk, I mean, till dawn.
Yeah, they didn't like you coming home too early, right?
Right. Yeah, and my prowess with sports was very, very poor because, like I said, my parents weren't really big sports guys. So we moved to California, and everybody's into sports. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try out for the Little League team, right? Well, I'm left-handed, and I didn't have a glove. Mm. And there weren't a whole lot of left-handed gloves around. So I'm using a right-hander's glove to try out for this team. Little bottom line is I got cut.
Oh, no.
So I'm in the outfield. I'm catching the ball. I'm taking the glove off, and then I'm throwing it back in. And so, I wasn't as skilled as who's the guy, the one-handed pitcher for Michigan?
Yeah, Jim Abbott.
Yeah. I wasn't that good. So I kept getting cut until I was like at the lowest level, and then they had to take me. So it was a pretty humbling. But like you said, back in the day, playing sports and just getting together with your guys was just the thing to do. I mean, just no two ways about it. And you played until it was dark.
Well, you just said something too that you got cut in Little League because. In our Little League and our youth football leagues in Ventura, California, we have an overabundance of kids coming out. There weren't enough roster spots. We did have cuts in youth football where you didn't make the team, and it was extremely fortunately I didn't get cut, but there were times where I was right there on the bubble. Let's put it that way. And it was stressful, but you figured it out. And even if you did get cut, some of my friends who did get cut, again, we survived. They got better, over the next year and came back even stronger and better, maybe for the experience. They were inspired by not making it the previous year. And all of those things, to me anyway, that we try to not govern out of it, from a societal, we don't want, and I found I as a parent, you find yourself doing this. You want to protect your kids from disappointment, and I get that and I understand that. But what I've tried to always tell my kids are, you're going to be disappointed in life. It's part of life, is disappointment, and being able to use that disappointment in a positive way, rather than protect you so much from it that it's something that you're scared of disappointment or it really majorly affects you when you do get disappointed because you haven't been necessarily prepared for it, I think is doing a greater disservice than protecting them from the disappointment.
I agree. You came at, you wanted to be better. Mm-hmm. You said, okay, I admit, I want to be better. And you know what? Therapy, I have my mental scars. I made it through okay,
yes.
Even though I was cut. And that first year, I was cut like four times to get to the lowest level,
right?
Because I didn't have the proper equipment.
Oh,
great call, 66.
Hey, 66, your phone cut out on us. Thanks for calling in. Very nice discussion there. You're on Raider Nation Radio. Appreciate that. Well, and just like the same, I mean, there's going to be some disappointment in the NFL now that ESPN and Jeremy Fowler has come up with their list, as they do this time of the year. For the top, players at their positions, they do the top 10 every position from cornerback to quarterback, and the ESPN, and it's all ranked by executives,
coaches,
and scouts. Yeah, and this is the one that people hold on to a little bit. They do a little scoreboard on this, especially when it comes to like middle of the season, and let's see, you guys didn't even have me on the top 10 list. I remember that, Jeremy Fowler, but they started it off with quarterbacks, And it's funny when you think like, all right, there's going to be some of the usual suspects. You know, Mahomes will be first, right? But when you filter it down through the top 10 list of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, how often do you get surprised by seeing guys that are on the list that you're like, well, they may be at the tail end of their career and last year did not look so good. So what makes you think like they're going to rebound and pop out and have a top 10 year this year? You got the list in front of you?
Yeah, and I'm quite honestly, I'm like in full agreement with this list. I think this is one of the better lists that I've ever seen. And could you quibble because Aaron, and I think the player that you're kind of pointing to right now, more than anybody on this list is Aaron Rodgers, because we didn't see Aaron Rodgers last year. And I want to say he was ranked, let me get to it real quick. Aaron was ranked number was it 6 or 7? Hang on, guys. I'm sorry. There's like a lot of paragraphs written about these guys, so we got to scroll down. C.J. Stroud was number 7. Aaron Rodgers was number 8. So he's number 8 on this list, which tells you that there's a lot of scouts out there, a lot of coaches out there, a lot of executives out there that think that Aaron Rodgers is going to rebound quite fine from his Achilles tendon. And if he does, then he's certainly a top 10 quarterback, without question. We'll go through the list real quick right now, and I don't think there's certainly no surprises at the very top of the list. And Patrick Mahomes obviously is number 1. He to me is one of one. I'm in full agreement on number 2, which is Joe Burrow. I think a healthy Joe Burrow, you're talking about a Super Bowl contending team in the Cincinnati Bengals. Number 3 is Josh Allen. You put Josh Allen on the team, you're a Super Bowl contending team. I know the Bills haven't checked that box off yet, but they've been right there. So Josh Allen is a big reason why. Fantastic quarterback. Number 4, Lamar Jackson. Coming off an MVP season, to me, he still has to show it now in the playoffs in a big way. It seems to be his kryptonite right now is the playoffs, and I do believe that he'll get over that hurdle. Will it be this year? We're gonna see. But ESPN and the folks that they talked to felt like he's the number 4 quarterback coming into the 2024 season. Matthew Stafford, number 5. Can't really argue with that. I think that, he showed last year a healthy Matthew Stafford, and all of a sudden the Rams are right back in the playoffs as opposed to a year before when he was injured and really didn't play too much. Justin Herbert, number 6. Interesting that they have Stafford ahead of Justin Herbert, but I think it's based on their last 2 seasons. I think that that's justified. Number 7, C.J. Stroud. Now, a lot of this, again, going off his great rookie year, but also some projections. Obviously, there's a lot of people in the NFL who feel that C.J. Stroud is on his way to being one of the best quarterbacks here in the NFL. We've mentioned number 8 is Aaron Rodgers, and I think that healthy, he's certainly that's probably right in his wheelhouse. Number 9, Jared Goff, I feel criminally underrated. Everybody always focuses on that first year. He was, I want to say, 0-7. It just looked terrible. But a lot of that to me was on Jeff Fisher and the bad offense that he had around Goff, the bad coaching that he had around Jared Goff. But for some reason, Jared's never been able to live that one down, even though he's been to a Super Bowl, multiple NFC Championship games, and he was one of the reasons why helped turn around a morbid Rams team and a morbid Detroit Lions team. You cannot take that away from Jared Goff. I like him at number 9. And then at number 10, the guy that we've been talking about a lot here, Clay, and there's people out there, fans out here, I get it, I understand it, who don't think that he's an elite quarterback. I happen to think Dak Prescott is an elite quarterback. He was, runner-up to the MVP award last year. If you look at it, even his playoff statistics are not bad. They're pretty good. You put that on a really good team, his performances in the regular season and where he's been fabulous, and he's gotten his team to playoffs. They've won division titles. They've won 12-plus games over the years. They've won a couple of playoff games with him as their quarterback. They haven't, unfortunately for the Cowboys, they haven't, knocked the big bell off the tree. But, hey, he always has the Dallas Cowboys in the mix. And, again, we've talked about this. If he's available next year as a free agent, I think there a lot of teams will be interested, and I think the Raiders should be interested.
All right. And
so who's not on this list, though?
There are some notable guys not on this list. Jalen Hurts is not on this list.
Right.
And also, Tua Tagovailoa, the passing leader from last season,
yeah,
not on this list.
I think the one for me that I wouldn't say egregious, but the one that just jumped out at me is Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy, to me, if you look at the peripherals, if you look at the statistics, if you look at the winning, if you look at, he got his team to help get his team to a Super Bowl as well. I do not believe he's just a product of the San Francisco 49ers. That's ludicrous. You can't just put anybody in there and have the kind of success that he's had. That's been proven over and over again with the 49ers, by the way. So when you look at his numbers in the red zone and on third downs and high leverage situations, he's been a really good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one for me. I'm like, he probably, I guess if who would you, that's the other question. Who do you take off this list to put him on there? Jalen Hurts, I think, has a little bit of ground to make up after last year. I mean, I don't, to me, he was hurt. So I cut him a little bit of slack for the fall off of the Philadelphia Eagles. He just didn't seem right. So I think that a healthy Jalen Hurts can vault himself right back into this top 10 list. Tua. I don't know if Tua is a top 10 quarterback, though.
Okay, well, let's get into it. On the other side, it's Raider Nation Radio here on a Monday, 702-365-9200. Andy Phillips will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk to him about this list as well as teams in the NFC North and how they previewed and who upgraded from last year. But we'll clear the phone lines now and give you a chance to win these tickets to go see Monster Jam at the end of the month over at the Thomas and Mack Center. That's for Saturday, July 27th, 7 p.m. Monster Jam 6. It shows all weekend long at the TNM. You got Gravedigger, Max D, Megalodon, all of them in the freestyle skills and racing competitions. You can get your tickets at unlvtickets.com, 739FANS. Already here, the tickets are hard and ready to go. Pick them up at the station. Be caller number 9 right now, and they're yours at 702-365-9200, 702-365-9200.
Don't mean.
Thanks for being with us here on Raider Nation Radio. Andy Phillips will join us, the author of Round Zero, former Packers center. He'll join us in a few minutes as well here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll go over the NFC North with him and more on R&R 920. But taking a look at ESPN's list as they work with executives, coaches, and scouts ranking the top 10 players at each position. They started off with quarterbacks, and there's some head scratchers there. Just the fact that, you know, when you have some guys not on the list, and you're right, like, why isn't Brock Purdy on this list? Like, what would make you think that he doesn't deserve to be on there? But this is executives, coaches, and you know, scouts. I would have to think, like, Purdy is still somebody that, you know, is beyond, like, all right, well, he kind of came up, you know, out of nowhere, and he's doing really good with a vastly skilled team that's got great players at every position. He looks good because of the process. I think Brock Purdy's already shown that he belongs in, like, a top 10 category here.
Who are we talking about voting here, Clay?
You got scouts, coaches, and team executives.
Who didn't draft him for 7 rounds?
31 other teams.
And what are those 31 other teams made up of? Scouts?
Yeah. Who were probably looking kind of bad when they were like, what was your grade on Brock Purdy,
right,
Jeff?
Yes, like, exactly. I really believe that he's the victim of still that perception of being the last player drafted, and also some people that are just – that they refuse to come off of their very own – evaluation of him. So many people missed so badly on Brock Purdy that there's egg on a lot of people's faces right now. And I don't think that, you know, I just don't think that some people are willing to give it up for him. So what they do is, he's a product of the system. Well, you know what? The 49ers have run a bunch of quarterbacks out there. Like when Jimmy G was hurt and, you know, Trey Lance thing was drafted, that didn't do squat. That never came close to what Brock Purdy has delivered. Not just 1 year. It's been 2 years now. So to me, and I love C.J. Stroud. I'm a huge C.J. Stroud guy. Go all the way back to last year when I was talking him up. But if C.J. Stroud can make his way onto this list in year one, I know that, you know, you're looking at, oh my gosh, well, C.J. Stroud helped turn around the Houston Texans. I get it, I understand that, and it's definitely a credit to him. But it's also not the easiest thing to go on to a team, to step in on a team that has massive expectations, and everybody in that room is looking at you saying, you know, everyone else is really good here, so don't screw this up. You know what I'm saying? Do not be the reason that we do not play well. And there's been a few quarterbacks that have stepped into that role with the San Francisco 49ers that massively failed. And here's a guy that didn't just right the ship or steady the ship or, you know, play his role. This is a quarterback that has helped win a lot of football games and helped get his team to the Super Bowl. So for my money, he probably deserves to be somewhere on that list, and I'd be shocked, I think, by the end of the season if he wasn't on this list.
Okay, that makes sense. It's just a time that's got to come. Like, there's an era for this now, for a guy like Brock Purdy. But for C.J. Stroud, though, you're coming off of a great year. Does this mean that, like, everybody then had C.J. Stroud rated as high as he was, you know, to come out as, you know, you're the number two quarterback selected. Could have been number one. But, you know, being number seven, that says a lot on this list, you know, because you're matched up just below Aaron Rodgers and just above Justin Herbert.
Well, and here's another thing, Clay. I hate lists. I hate because we're automatically saying that it's got to be 10 or you can't be any more than 10. I like what Pro Football Focus does with the tiers. You know, they put together a tier, and so there's no numbers associated with it. Do you fit into this tier? Are you the top tier, the second tier? It could be 15 quarterbacks that are between that top tier and that second tier. I'm just throwing some numbers out there, but because they limit it to just 10, you know, you have to make that 10 work somehow, some way, and it might come at the expense of somebody. But in terms of C.J. Stroud, I'm really fascinated by him, and I'm fascinated by the Houston Texans, because I not that I need to see it one more year, but will he play as well as he did last year? Now that they're playing a first place schedule, now that there's a volume of footage out there. That teams are going to be scouring over him. I can guarantee you this: the AFC South and everybody that's on their on their schedule this year, their defensive coordinators and defensive staff scoured the tape. That's what happens during the offseason. You have this almost endless amount of time to be able to take a look at your opponents, especially the good opponents, and try to figure out things about them and figure out the weaknesses and the strengths, obviously, as well. So he's got that year two pressure on him to deliver again. Was it a fluke? Was it just the luck of the first year guy? Is there going to be a sophomore slump? Is there going to be a second season fall off? I'm not predicting any of those things are going to happen, but we've seen it before. We've definitely seen that before, so it remains a possibility, which is why the Houston Texans are one of my more fascinating teams to see if they can, A, duplicate, and B, actually improve, or do they fall back a little bit?
It's Vinny and Clay on your Monday. We come back with Andy Phillips, author and former Packers center here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll talk to him about lists like this and his evaluation of some of the guys under center. Who that means? Next.